على آله وأصحابه وهو لا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خير everybody for sticking around after the salah for fiqh of salah. Today we are talking about urine and what to do with it. Not in that way, but how to cleanse ourselves from it and what not. What's something that we were doing a couple of weeks ago, which I stopped just by accident, was a reminder about the importance of learning Islam, right? I was giving a few examples and anecdotes from Sahih Bukhari and other places. And one of the things, and I want to restart that inshallah whenever it is possible. So I'll just start with that quickly. One of the things that Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, says in the explanation of Sahih Bukhari, he says in the very opening chapter, like very opening comments that he makes about Imam Bukhari's chapter of knowledge, he says that Rabbi zidni ilma, right? Imam Bukhari quotes the ayah, Rabbi zidni ilma, wa qul Rabbi zidni ilma. So the translation of the ayah is, and say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Ah, interesting. But the word in is not in the ayah, is there? Right? It's not Rabbi zidni fi ilmi, right? Or fil ilm. It's a very subtle difference. But it says Rabbi zidni ilman. Now this is actually a pretty hard thing to translate fully. The idea is that the subtlety is that increase me, like make me a better person via the knowledge that you that I've acquired, right? Not just increase my knowledge per se, because ilman is actually tamyiz linguistically, right? If I was to say I have bought 10, you will say 10 what? Right? So the answer of that question, like I would say I have bought 10 cars. I didn't, but assume. So that cars is what's called tamyiz in Arabic, or a unit, right? So when Allah says Rabbi zidni ilman, increase me in what way? Not in knowledge, increase me via my knowledge. Like my knowledge increases, and that through that I also increase in good deeds, in manners, in all things that are considered to be good. And on this ayah, Imam Ibn Hajar says something very interesting. He says that the Messenger of Allah has not been commanded to ask an increase in anything except in what will increase him through knowledge, except in this particular category. You see? And when you consider for a minute what happens to a how Allah describes Musa alayhi salam, whose story I mentioned a few weeks ago, right? Him traveling, seeking knowledge while being a prophet of Allah, right? Think about that. When he goes and meets Khidr, he says what to Khidr? He says, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Can I follow you around in order that you can teach me something that you have been taught? Correct? The etiquettes of Musa al-Islam are so incredible, so beautiful. He is the Prophet of Allah who speaks to Allah. And he says to this person who's not even a prophet, can I just follow you around? Do you see how amazing that is? He didn't say, hey, I'm Musa, I'm a prophet, I'm a big deal, tell me what you have. No, he has the humility, which is the key fruit of knowledge. So when Rabbi zidni ilma, when we make that dua, it's like, oh Allah, don't just increase my knowledge and my understanding, but increase my humility, increase my actions, increase me in all good via my knowledge. Right? So it's a very powerful dua. I really like how Imam Bukhari started his book with that, or the chapter of knowledge with that. And then of course, Ibn Hajar's commentary on that. So the goal, brothers and sisters, is that we learn something. It shouldn't make us arrogant. It shouldn't make us look down on others. right? It should increase us in humility, and our goal should be to emulate the Messenger in the way he made wudu and ghusl, but also in character, right? How he addressed the people. Wallahu ta'ala. So that is the reminder of the importance of knowledge and the goal of knowledge. Coming back to the chapter of urine, three ahadiths today. This is hadith number 25 in the book. This is narrated by Qais bint Mihsan al-Asadiyya. This is a sahabiyya, it's a female. She is saying that أَنَّهَا أَتَتْ بِبْنٍ لَهَا صَغِيرٍ لَمْ يَأْكُلْ الطُّعَامِ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. She came to the Messenger of Allah and brought him a young baby boy, okay, who was not yet eating. He was drinking milk from the mother, right? He was just nursing. فَأَجْلَسَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي حَجْرِهِ. So the Messenger of Allah made him sit in his lap. Like, put the child in his lap. What a lucky child. And then, فَبَالَ عَلَى ثَوْبِهِ. The child urinated on the clothes of the Messenger of Allah. Right? Now, they didn't have diapers and pampers and whatnot at that time, so the urine will go through the little cloth that is tied around the child and into the clothes of the other person. Okay, some of you, I think, maybe even remember, like, when I was in Pakistan, we would have little cousins and they wouldn't have actual diapers, they would have cloth diapers, right? And they were not very effective. So they were kept outside, you know, like in the area where, you know, it's easy to wash. So if they, you know, do their business, they just switch him around and wash quickly and yalla, go away. So this was, you know, like the norm before you had diapers like the ones that we have today. So this child urinates and it ends up on the clothes of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what does the Messenger do sallallahu alaihi wasallam? فَدَعَى بِمَاءٍ. He called for some water. And فَنَضَحَهُ عَلَى ثَوْبِهِ وَلَمْ يَغْسِلْهُ. So, and he sprinkled it, moistened it on his clothes, but he did not wash it. Okay, that is the first hadith, part one. That same hadith, part two, is Aisha radiallahu anha narrating that anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam utiya bi sabiyyin, a child was brought to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a baby boy again. Fabala ala thawbihi fadaa bi ma'in fa atba'ahu iyyahu. So he again, the child urinated on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Messenger asked for water again, and the same thing, he, you know, cleaned the area where the child had urinated on his clothes with it, and that's it. Okay, now and in Sahih Muslim the narration is a little longer. Fa atba'ahu bawlahu walam yaghsilhu. He rinsed the area where the urine was, but he did not wash it. Okay, this is the same hadith. Like, see, it's titled as one hadith, but it has two parts. Like, it's in two different places in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Okay, in this book, he's put it as one for some reason. Okay, that's number one, right? So we're talking about what type of urine, or whose urine in particular? A child, but more precisely, a baby boy. Okay, important one. Please keep that in mind. All right. Then we have the next hadith. This is hadith number 26 in the book. This is an Anas ibn Malik, from Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says, "Qala jaa a'rabiyyun fabala fi ta'ifatil masjid." So a Bedouin came to the Messenger's mosque, right? And he urinated in a place on the masjid, right? Now, of course, the Bedouin is not somebody, he's not crazy. He assumed that, and he's not trying to start a fight or something, by the way. He just assumed that this structure is a place where people would, you know, relieve themselves. That's what he assumed, for whatever reason. Okay? So, as he's doing that, فَزَجَرَهُ النَّاس. So people started to rough him up, right? They were trying to, like, yell at him and scream at him and tell him, what are you doing? فَنَهَاهُمُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the Messenger stopped them from doing so. فلما قضى بوله أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذنوب من ماء فأهريق عليه. Okay, he says when he was done urinating, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم asked that a bucket of water be brought. Dhanub is actually a bucket, by the way, and that is then emptied over the place where he had urinated. Okay, so now we have the urine of the child and the urine of the adult, right? Both cases are covered. All right. Now let's talk about some of the rulings when it comes to the matter of urine. So clearly, urine is pure or impure. Obviously, it is impure, except in the situation that it is impure. But how do you purify the cloth that urine is on? Okay, or the place where urine is? That's the question. Clearly, it is impure. So how do you do so? If you have a child, okay, that is a baby boy. Let's start with child, a baby boy who does not yet eat. So this is a child that is drinking milk only, right, from the mother. That boy, its urine has to be purified by an-nadh. That's the word in Arabic, which is pouring water, moistening, and that's it. Okay? Not washing. Washing is you pour water and you wring it, right? Out. Nadh is not wringing it. It's putting water, moistening it, and that's it. Okay? Two different things, yeah? I think you can see the difference. Because the word nadh is also used when we're talking about somebody who had a lot of madhi, the pre-seminal fluid. So the Messenger said, you should imdah dhakarak, you should clean your penis, which is not like you can't obviously wring it, you just nadh on it, which is moisten it with water, and make wudu. Alright? So that's what nadh is supposed to be, moistening the area that is that has been affected. Moistening the area that has been soiled. Okay, here is the situation. The baby boy's urine is purified in this manner. Okay? If the baby boy is eating food, then the urine has to be washed. And the urine has to be washed. Just like the urine of an adult. What differentiates the urine of a child from the urine of an adult is whether he is eating or not. Right? Solids or not. The moment the child starts eating solids, the urine is treated as if it's an adult's urine, and it is to be washed and wrung, right? Now, according to the madhab of Imam Ahmad, as an example, this is an interesting example, maybe you would find it interesting. Imam Ahmad, for example, says that this is the chapter of Izalat al-Najasa. He says that you have to wash on something that is clothes, something that is not earth like mud, everything you have to wash 7 times. That's Imam Ahmad's opinion, that's not the Jumhur's opinion. Okay, I'm just giving you as an example of an interesting opinion on the matter. Okay, and particularly even if it is urine, he believes that you have to wash it 7 times. The majority say 1 time is enough and you wring it and it's done. Some of the fuqaha, such as the Malikiya, they say you can even let the urine like dry, like the cloth. You can let the cloth dry. And once the smell and the texture of it has gone, because the sun will dry it, then you can start using it and no problem. Okay? So there are, like I said, a variety of opinions of the fuqaha on the matter. Of course, the safest opinion in the matter is wash it and wring it, and alhamdulillah, it is clean. Make sense? That is for the child that's eating. That's for the adult that is... That's an adult, okay? What about the boy and the girl? The baby boy that's not eating solids and the baby girl who's not eating solids. What is the differentiation and why is there a differentiation? Okay, so this is, for example, mentioned in the majority of the books of fiqh. This is the majority position. So it's not a minority position. I quoted you some minority positions before. This is the majority of the fuqaha. They say يُفَرَّقْ بَيْنَ بَوْلِ الذَّكَرِ وَالْأُنْثَى. There is a difference between the urine of the boy and the urine of the girl. This is again the baby boy and the baby girl who are not eating solids. The moment you eat solids, it's all the same. Okay? Why? Because there's a hadith that Imam Ahmad narrates and Imam Tirmidhi narrates that is authentic, that says يُغْسَلْ مِنْ بَوْلِ الْجَارِيَةِ وَيُرَشْ مِنْ بَوْلِ الْغُلَامِ. It says that you have to wash if it is the urine of a baby girl, does not eat solids, and you have to yurash, which is, you know, rinse and moisten, if it is the urine of a baby boy, does not eat solids. Alright, this is the basis of it, and this is like as Zuhri says about this, that madad as-sunnah, this has become the sunnah, this is the practice that is established. This is the opinion of Imam Ahmad and Ishaq ibn Rahaway and Imam Shafi'i. So this is a very, very strong opinion. They're not just basing it out of nothing, alright? I was reading something about this, about how there is a slight difference in the composition of the urine of a boy and a girl, right? But even if we don't agree, like, even if that study didn't exist, you don't need a scientific study to prove to you the word of the messenger is correct, okay? But even if that didn't exist, this is something the messenger has mentioned in a hadith, and this is the majority, their position. So this is something that is the safer opinion. Okay, summary: a adult, obviously, the urine has to be washed and rinsed. A baby boy who is not eating solids, just, you know, moistened and rinsed, and that's it. A baby girl, washed and rinsed. Any child that's eating solids, washed and rinsed and wrung. Sorry, I meant wrung. Okay, so that is that. Now, on the same note, we have some statements of scholars about why this is the case and why that's not the case. I don't think you know, those are just opinions of people. But what I find interesting is the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam having a baby in his lap, right? And more than once, a baby urinates in his lap. And this is from, it shows the mercy of the messenger, and that he didn't get upset at it, right? He didn't get upset that his clothes are now soiled because of this baby. Okay? He is, merciful, and he just says, okay, you know what, just give me some water, and that's that, right? I have, like, my daughter, when her diaper leaks, it is a very bad experience, right? You're like, ah, my clothes, my sleeve, right? SubhanAllah. And sometimes, you know, as human beings, we lose our temper, we get upset. But the Messenger of Allah did not just lose his temper on these matters, right? He was very calm always. When he was angry, it was because when someone would say something inappropriate about the religion, right? When someone would ask him questions about the religion that are just inappropriate, you shouldn't be asking these kind of questions, he would get angry at that. He would get angry if somebody did something blatantly, you know, disregarding the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he wouldn't get angry at things that happen in day-to-day life. You know, a child soiling your clothes. Anas not listening to what the Prophet is asking him to do. Right? Because the Prophet would tell Anas, hey Anas, do this, and Anas would forget. He's 10 years old, 11 years old. That's how kids are, right? We find the messenger would not get angry at those incidents. You know, like somebody comes into the masjid and starts saying to the Prophet, oh Prophet, make dua. The Prophet didn't get angry at that, right? So things that are annoying day to day did not make him angry. Whereas things that were disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's where they would say ihmarra wajhuhu. You can tell that his face is becoming red. He's getting upset at that, right? And this is how we should be. We should try not to lose our temper on small things, right? But our ire should be reserved for, you know, when the Sharia is compromised, right? When the messenger, the Sunnah of the messenger is, you know, discarded, that should legitimately upset us. And that's like the way. That's the place where we should aim to be. Wallahu a'lam. Now, the hadith about the the Bedouin. Okay, the first hadith was about the boy, the two hadith about the boys who had soiled the clothes of the messenger. Now the Bedouin comes and he starts urinating in the masjid. Again, we see the same thing. Everybody is getting upset, but the Messenger of Islam is very calm. And this is such a beautiful, this is not like an anomaly, this is not a one-time exception. This is how he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People are getting upset, people are like, what's happening here? Oh my goodness, and the Messenger is calm, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the example, when Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. You have, you know, in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a beautiful example. That is what it is talking about, right? Part of, like, the largest part of it is that akhlaq. And it is the akhlaq that's the heaviest on the scales on the Day of Judgment for a believer. Right? It is not other things. Because, you see, other things, you have to, like, you can do it. Fasting, you convince yourself to do it. Right? Prayer, you can convince yourself to pray. Right? But holding your anger, there is another person doing something wrong. Right? And that is where you have to really control your ego. So that is a more... that something that's heavier on the scales, you know, because of the value of akhlaq. Of course, that's not to say salah is any lower or fasting is any lower. I'm just saying, when the Messenger talks about good deeds, the heaviest, it's the akhlaq, because it's so difficult to deal with people. So here is another person who is doing something blatantly wrong, urinating in the masjid. It's completely inappropriate, but the Messenger tells the people, don't do that. And there's wisdom. If someone is doing something like urinating, and you tell them, like, you start, like, you know, like, grabbing him, what's gonna happen? It's gonna go everywhere, right? He's gonna spray it even more. So sometimes you interfering with that problem will make the problem even worse, right? I sometimes, you know, like, when you're potty training kids, mashallah, right? There's urine all the time on the floor, right? So subhanallah, when it happens to, like, my kids, when the first time it happened, me and my wife were like freaking out. Like, oh, what do you do? Oh, carpet is messed up. Oh my goodness, right? Now, when we see a child urinating, we're like, okay, just stand there, finish up. All right, good. Now, take down your pants, put everything on the thing. We're so methodical now because we're trained in there. So you just let the person do what they're doing, and then you start to, like, you know, clean up afterwards. So the Messenger of Allah is showing us of the beautiful akhlaq, that sometimes you just let people finish and then address them. In another narration, by the way, when the Messenger told this man that, hey, this is a masjid, you're not supposed to urinate here, right? The person was so moved by the akhlaq of the Prophet that he said, oh Allah, have mercy on Muhammad and me and nobody else. Right? He was so moved and he was so angry at everybody else. So, and the Messenger said, you cannot restrict the mercy of Allah. You cannot. Allah's mercy is vast, and it applies to everybody. It shows the beauty. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ لَتِهِ أَحْسَنُ. Say to my slaves, say what is beautiful, what's good. Because إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Shaitan is just trying to come between us, trying to do something, to, like, just break the relationship, the good ties that we have. This is just what Shaitan just tries to do, and sometimes a word is the opening that he needs. So we have to be very, very cautious and very measured in the way we are dealing with each other. Now, also in this, from the ruling point of view, is what happens to the urine of a man, right? We talked about that. Clearly, if it's on a cloth, you can rinse it and you can wring it and it's done, right? Sorry, or wash it and wring it, it's clean. Okay, what about if it's on an earth, right? On mud. On mud, you just pour water over it once and it's good. What about if it is on the carpet or the mattress, right? Or, you know, tiles or hardwood floor, right? So now here there is some differences because the materials are vastly different, right? So you could say a hardwood floor is pretty much like the earth, right? I mean, it's pretty much the same. You can just mop it up and just pour water over it. Right? The difference, by the way, being the hardwood floor probably will not absorb the urine, right? Whereas the earth will absorb it right away. But it's fairly close, correct? So you could say, okay, just make sure that the urine is mopped up and then the water is poured and the area that's soiled is, it has been cleaned and the smell is gone and any, you know, maybe like the remnants of the color are gone, then you're set. Okay? Tiles, same thing, right?
Just dilute it. Water.
Right, but you have to be careful. If you just toss water on it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be even bigger. It's going to get soiled even more, right? So, because unlike the earth which will absorb it, you have to carefully contain the soiling of the urine, okay? Now, that is for something like a hardware or a tile, right? I think that's fairly straightforward. A carpet is a lot trickier, right? Because a carpet will actually absorb it, right? But unlike the earth, and the carpet still has it there, right? Because the earth will absorb it, you put water on it, you come back in an hour, and it's gone. Because it has sunk into the earth, it's been absorbed into the earth. What happens to the carpet is, there's the flat layer at the bottom of the carpet, right? And that is holding that urine there. Right? That's trouble. That is trouble. So, what is the recommendation of the fuqaha in this light? By the way, these things were not necessarily a problem in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but these things happened later on because carpets were, like, you know, very common in the Muslim, you know, in our history, we had carpets everywhere. Okay, so the recommendation is you wring it, but the modern day carpets can't be wrung. You can't just, like, you know, if this carpet happens, something happens, you cannot wring this carpet, brother. Forget about that. Right? There are really no carpets you can wring anymore, the way they're constructed. Okay? If you can wring it, then you have to try your best to absorb the urine out of it using a cloth, using a sponge first. Okay? First you have to remove the contamination. Okay? This is particularly important if you want to pray on that carpet, right? This is very important. So the contamination has to be removed, and then you, Imam Ahmad, for example, recommends you are using turab, and then you are using water, like use dirt and water, but you can replace that with soap. I don't think you want to use dirt on your carpet. Soap or detergent or whatever else it is that you want to use. You put that there, you rub it in, and then pour water, absorb. Pour water and absorb until two things are gone. Number one, smell. Number two, the odor smell, but also the color, the traces of it, right? The traces of it. Okay. Last one, the trickiest one is the mattress. Sorry, brothers, the mattress actually cannot be cleaned, right? Because once it's in the mattress in the springs, it's done. You can't, like, it's all over. It's in the mattress. You can turn the mattress, but it's in the mattress. So the solution is you just put a bed sheet on the mattress and you sleep on it. Don't throw it out. Okay? For parents who are potty training their kids, like somebody asked me, I was like, brother, I recommend two things for you. Number one, get a mop that you can wring. You know, like you press down and it rings itself. Okay? It will be a lifesaver to clean up the urine everywhere in your house. Okay? Number two, get lots and lots of fitted bed sheets for your mattress. Because when the fitted bed sheets are, there's one that has like a type of cloth that doesn't allow the urine to seep through it. Okay, so when you do that, what ends up happening is you can take it off, wash it very easily. Nothing has gone in the mattress. Okay, unfortunately, there really isn't any way. The mattress with the spring, there really isn't any way to do it. Okay, the only way is you just put a cloth on it, and inshallah, there's no problem. The urine is not, you know, going to transfer from the cloth to your clothes, and then from your clothes to your body. It won't happen, inshallah. You have a clean cloth on it, inshallah, you're fine. But these are issues that we face, especially if you have little kids, right? So the summary of it is, how to purify something from urine depends on the actual fabric. If it's clothes, very easy, just wash it and wring it, okay? And it's dried. Carpet, we discussed, you have to remove it until the odor and texture or the color is gone, right? Likewise, hardwood, likewise, tiles. Of our mattress, just change the bed sheet and, you know, that's it. You can't really do anything about it. The advantage you have of the mattress is you're not praying on the mattress, right?
For water, because
it will just make it worse, right? Because you cannot remove the urine. If you pour water, it will just make it soggier and it will spread it more because you cannot remove the urine from the mattress, not to my knowledge at least, right? How you could do that. The best way is get the sheets that have, I think it's plastic or it's some material. It's not exactly plastic that acts like plastic, right? I found it on Amazon. I was like, Alhamdulillah, this is the most amazing thing. I will buy at least 3 of these. So there's always one available. But generally, mattress we can't even think about. Okay, so that is the urine, the purification from it. Let me quickly finish that because that's also in the chapter, which is the hadith of, this is the last hadith related to urine and purification about al-fitra. The Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-fitra tu khamsun. This is hadith number 27. There's 5 things that are from the fitra. They are al-khitan, it is circumcision. Al-istihdad, removing the pubic hair. Qass al-sharib, the mustache, trimming it. Qalmul al-athar, removing the nails. And natful ibt or natful abad, removing the hair from the armpits. Okay, so those are 5 things. Now this is mentioned in this chapter because when you're purifying yourself from urine and cleaning and wudu, then this is also part of the purification. If you have long nails, does not make you impure. Okay? If you have long, you know, hair in your armpit, does not make you impure, does not like break your wudu, but it is against the fitrah. Okay? What does the word fitrah here mean? Because when we see the word fitrah in the Quran, it says fitrah Allah allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha. This is the way Allah has created human beings to worship Him. Okay? So fitrah, wallahu alam, here is referring to the sunnah of the messengers, right? This is from the actions, as sunnah al-anbiya alayhi wassalam. This is something that the messengers taught people. This is part of being a good person, okay? Which is you clean and you're like well kept, and you're not some your appearance, like your nails are not repulsing people by their length, right? If you are intimate with your spouse, you're clean on your armpits and in your pubic area, because that is also a thing that is not looked up, not that's frowned upon in every culture, right? So it's from the fitrah to remove it. Okay, that's number one. Number two is the 5 things mentioned in it are not only 5. There are other ahadith that mention more, but these are 5 generally that are the general rules. Number one is khitan, which is circumcision. This is number one. Number two, istihdad, removing the pubic hair. Istihdad comes from the word had, actually. Had is something that's sharp, because they would use a sharp, you know, blade to remove hair from the pubes. But you don't have to use a blade or whatever. If you can use a trimmer or something, by all means, as long as the hair are removed, that's the goal. Okay? Qassu sharib, this is the most interesting one in my opinion. The trimming of the mustache. Okay? So, the mustache should be trimmed, the beard should be grown. That is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, now there is a very interesting statement from Imam Malik. I always chuckle when I read it. Okay? So, I will share it with you if you are, you know, like, don't take it personally. Okay? Imam Malik is not trying to hurt your feelings. Okay? So, Imam Malik says, وَتُحْفَى الشَّوَارِبْ, he says that وَتُحْفَى الْلِحْيَةِ, he says the mustache is to be trimmed and the beard is to be left, you know, to grow. Okay, وَلَيْسَ إِحْفَاءُ الشَّارِبْ حَلْقُهُ, or لَيْسَ إِحْفَاءُ الشَّارِبِ حَلْقَهُ, he says the trimming of the mustache is not shaving it. Right? And he says, وَأَرَى أَنْ يُؤَدَّبْ مَنْ حَلَقَ شَارِبَهُ. And I said, I want to, you know, like, discipline the person who is shaving his mustache. Okay. And then he said, in another statement, هَذِهِ بِدْعَةٌ وَأَرَى أَنْ يُوجِعَ ضَرْبًا مَنْ فَعَلَهُ. He says, this is a bid'ah, and I want someone to beat up the person who does this. Okay, so the Malikis really keep their mustaches; they do not shave it off. You know, you are free to do whatever you want. There is no, but I'm just sharing this interesting opinion from Imam Malik with you. He is very particular about your appearance. The Malikis are very particular about how you look. Okay, so if your mustache is missing, they say you look weird. I'm not kidding. And that's why Imam Malik says this person is doing something that's not part of the deen, making it a part of the deen, and he looks not normal doing it, I want to fix him up. Okay? You're free to shave your mustache. I'm not saying you shouldn't or should, right? Because shaving it is trimming it, right? A part of it. But just an interesting observation from Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Okay? This is that, and the last one is the second last is the cutting of the nails. Obvious, we should cut the nails in a timely manner. And lastly, natf about the armpits. Natf is plucking. That's how they would do it. They will pluck out the armpit here. Now you don't have to, right? Very painful. You don't have to, as long as if you have a trimmer, you have a razor, whatever means you can remove them, you remove them, right? That is from the sunnah. That doesn't make you najis, but it is from the fitrah, wallahu ta'ala alam. So those are the three ahadith that we covered. The urine, summary of the thing, urine is unclean, of course, has to be purified. The baby boy is the only one whose urine is to be rinsed over, as long as he's not eating solids. Everybody else, you have to wash it and wring. The interesting situation comes is when you have different types of materials like carpets and tiles, and how you do that. The goal is to remove the odor and the color, right? Lastly, we have the five things about the fitrah, and most importantly, the akhlaq of the messenger as he is dealing with people who are acting in a manner that is annoying. Wallahu ta'ala. If you have questions, we can take them now, insha'Allah ta'ala. Otherwise, we'll call it a night. Yes. Yeah. Excellent question. Right, so an adult who has what's called salasul bawl, like they are constantly leaking a little bit of urine. They cannot control themselves, right? It's not even an old person. Sometimes a younger person has the same problem. It's a medical condition. It's not as common, but the fuqaha always mentioned it. So the one who has man bihi salasul bawl, who has that situation, is supposed to make wudu every single time for prayer, right? Even if during prayer some of it is leaking, they can't control that, right? They just don't have any control over it. They make wudu, they pray, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. In terms of cleaning, they're supposed to have a cloth that they keep there. And it's you think of it like an underwear or something that's, maybe thicker. And before salah, change it out, right? And that's the thing that they're supposed to do. Wallahu alam, everything else, they try their best. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Jazakallahu khair. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika. Shadu la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I hope nobody got offended with Imam Malik's opinion about the mustache. I hope no one got offended with Imam Malik's opinion of the mustache.